L.A., San Diego, and Washington, D.C. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat,
did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Hi, welcome to the show. This is I Love New Jersey, location, location, location. I'm Jeannie Murphy with Weikert Realtors in Flemington, New Jersey, and my guest today is Dana DeAngelis, and she's the stroke coordinator for the stroke program, award-winning from our asset here, Hunterdon Healthcare System in Hunterdon County. If you happen to be in the area today, it's already the 31st of July. Hope you're having a great summer. The weather, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 4 p.m. today. Cloudy with a high about 87. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight before 3 a.m., then a chance of before 3 a.m., and then a chance of storm, severe damaging winds and heavy rain. Let's see, with a 60% chance of precipitation. Patchy fog before 7 a.m. on Thursday, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high of 87, partly cloudy with a low of 55 on Thursday night, and then Friday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9, mostly sunny with a high of 86 on Friday. Weekend looks like a chance of showers on Saturday and thunderstorms, also possible after 9 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 86, 40% chance of precipitation, mostly sunny all day with a high of 86. So we're going to talk to Hunterdon Healthcare's stroke coordinator, Dana DeAngelis, about the stroke program. Stay with us. Just one quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, welcome to the show. This is I Love New Jersey, location, location, location. I'm Jeannie Murphy, Weikert Realtors. If you're looking to buy, sell, or rent your home, please give me a call. My guest is Dana DeAngelis, and she is the stroke coordinator for the award-winning stroke program at Hunterdon Healthcare. So welcome to the show, Dana.
Thank you for having me today.
Pull that microphone quick up by you. Thanks.
Sure.
Yeah, real, as close as you can get, actually. Okay. It seems so low anyway. All right, so welcome over to the show. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Sure. So I've been at Hunterdon Medical Center for about 2.5 years. I've been a nurse for over 10 years now, and I've been working specifically in stroke for about the last 6 to 8 years.
Wow. What does that mean exactly, working in stroke, like in strokes?
So we have a lot of different specialties, sorry about that, mm-hmm. that we have at Hunterdon Medical Center, and one of them happens to be neurosciences, more specifically stroke. So what we try to do is take care of the entire program, running out of the emergency department into the intensive care unit throughout the hospital, as well as discharging them either to another hospital, to another rehab facility, and or working with our MICU crew or our EMS crew to be able to help take care of this patient, transfer them to the right location, and treat them appropriately depending on the resources that we have at our hospital and or resources that are on other hospitals that are in the area as well. Hunterdon Medical Center is a primary stroke center designated by the state. We're looking for Joint Commission certification. So we can take care of stroke patients, but depending on what level of care they need, sometimes we need to intervene at our location and then also transfer them to an outside location for further intervention.
Let's start with the beginning of like a stroke.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it is, how it happens, lifestyle choices or whatever? Let's hear about a stroke first. Then I want to hear about the award-winning Hutterton Healthcare Stroke Program.
Sure. So the American Heart, American Stroke Association are the guidelines that we follow. And we work in conjunction with Genentech, who are the manufacturers of TPA, which is the medication that we're ultimately trying to administer to a family member and or yourself if you think you're having a stroke. So we use the acronym BFAST, which stands for balance and eyesight. So that's the B and the E. And then FAST is face, arm, speech, or time. So we want to identify that you're having some type of signs and symptoms of stroke acutely or a sudden onset in symptoms. And then from there, we want to get you to the best hospital that can provide you the best care in the quickest amount of time, which is what will lead into our award that we'll talk about in a little bit.
I want to hear about that, but I really actually want to because you're used to being a nurse for 10 years and used to being around strokes for 7 years and used to being in the stroke program here, award winning at the Hutterton Healthcare System. But you said you have acronyms, and the first was BE, and what does that stand for again?
So BE is for balance and eyesight.
Okay.
And that's just recently actually been added this year because it really focuses the B and the E on the posterior or back of the brain strokes. It's very difficult to identify those strokes because, as you can imagine, if you're saying someone's having difficulty with balance, you can look and think about a billion different differential diagnoses that you can have problems with balance. Maybe if someone's intoxicated, they might have problems with their balance. If someone has ambulatory dysfunction, if someone just had a hip replacement, so there's a lot of different reasons that someone can have difficulty with their balance. But what we're trying to focus on more specifically is that it's a sudden change or an acute change that all of a sudden you're off balance and you can't attribute it to anything that's in your past medical history or anything that has just recently, for instance, happened to you. The same thing with E for eyesight. So that's also looking at the back of the brain strokes, and that's more or less saying, for instance, you know, you're watching TV and all of a sudden you only see half of the TV. Or you're looking up at a clock and you might only, for instance, see numbers 12 through 6 and you don't see the rest of the numbers on the other side. It's one of those, something's acute that all of a sudden your vision is different. It's not per se the little floaties that you have, or if you just have gone to the eye doctor. This is something that you are trying to look at a line, you only see half the line.
Interesting. Wow.
Right. All right. So they just
I'm totally into learning about all this stuff. So I mean, seriously, like I'm like all about it. So that's why we're taking it slow, because we have time.
Sure, absolutely.
Because we can kind of get everybody up to speed on when it's time to call, you know, the emergency services if someone's got this. So, all right, when you talk about the balance in the eye for the back of the brain stroke, that's so interesting, especially when you talk about the balance and reasons for having the balance.
Correct.
Versus, especially the eyesight. You can only see half the page. I mean, that's really very...
It's scary.
No, but it actually clarifies very much for us who don't know anything when there's a time to call.
Correct.
So now, what was the second acronym?
So the second part of that acronym is the word FAST. So F is for face. Maybe if you see a drooping on one side of the face, that could be a sign and symptom of stroke. A is for arms. Although we don't say the acronym FLAST, we include arms or legs. So if you have weakness on one side of your arms or weakness on one side of your legs, both of those are counted under the same A for arms.
Okay.
And then S is for speech. So there's actually two different types of speech, and it's very difficult sometimes to differentiate the second one. So S is for slurred speech, which could be, slurred speech that you're talking almost sounding like either A, like you have marbles in your mouth, and you feel like no matter how hard you're trying to talk, the words are not coming out clearly. But the second part of speech is also something called aphasia, which is either difficulty getting your words out or difficulty understanding someone. And a lot of times, family members might perceive their significant other or whoever's suffering from the stroke, it's very hard because it almost sounds like either someone's, you know, drunk, not comprehending, not understanding. And really, it's not a change in mental status. It's that they're not able to communicate with you their needs and wants.
Wow.
So you might be saying, like, say, for instance, someone's, you know, 57, and all they keep telling you is 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. Or they're trying to point to, you know, the remote, and they just keep saying, box, like they're using the wrong words. And sometimes you're like, what are you confused? Like, what's the problem? But they can't get those words out. Or perhaps you're talking to me and I might be holding a whole conversation, except it has nothing to do with what you're talking about because I don't understand what you're saying to me. I'm just having my own conversation. So that's the S.
Wow.
T is for time, that we always encourage everyone to call 911. And especially since we're talking to Hunterdon County, I always like to make this point. I understand that Hunterdon Medical Center is the only hospital in Hunterdon County, so we have a wide area to cover. And a lot of times they say, well, we're on the outskirts of Hunterdon County, so wouldn't it be faster for us to just drive in? Or wouldn't? But we've come so far in being able to have pre-activations from the field that the second that your family member is into that rig or the ambulance, as we would call it, they're already contacting us. We can now take pictures. We now have a snapshot of your identification so we can get everything ready at the hospital end. We can put an IV into you. We can check your blood sugar. We can get your vital signs and start controlling them. So even though people think, well, it's not as fast for an ambulance to go out, come get me, and come back, that's much longer than me just driving. Yeah, but in that time that you're driving, we don't know anything about you.
Wow. Good tips. So all right. Hold on. Let me just introduce again Dana DeAngelis. She's the stroke coordinator with the award-winning Hunterdon Healthcare Program, stroke program anyway. So what she just said was absolutely fascinating. She was talking about the back of the brain stroke, which had to do with the balance or the eyesight, which are these symptoms as to when you're supposed to reach out for emergency services. Then she has an acronym FAST, which is for the face, which could be some drooping, or the arms or legs, faintness, or you said weakness.
Weakness.
And then speech, just kind of like incessant talking or saying the wrong words, like totally like, I mean, I could see that. And then also time. So you were saying, she was saying that Hunterdon County is a large county. There's really just a Hunterdon healthcare system, which we love. And they're so supportive, by the way, to the community in so many ways. She was just saying that if you had an emergency, they recommend that you do call 911. And instead of driving to the hospital, let the emergency services people actually come on location to you to help your victim so that they can actually use some of the technology and pre-register them on the way and get their vital signs and make sure that by the time they get to the hospital, you're way ahead of the game.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. So it's already exactly 11:15. Again, I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey. Location, location, location. We're going to our first break here again. Stay with us. We're learning about the stroke program, the award-winning one from Hunterdon Medical Center. Thanks for watching in.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is I Love New Jersey, location, 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 brought to you by Jeannie Murphy, Weikert Realtors of Flemington, and the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. So if you're looking to buy, rent, or sell your home, or if you know anyone who is interested, please get in touch with me. I'd love to help you. My guest again is Dana DeAngelis, and she's the stroke coordinator for the award-winning stroke program at Hunterdon Healthcare. And she was starting off by telling us a little bit about some of the symptoms and when we can actually call emergency services, basically not knowing anything about when someone may be having a stroke. Now, you were going to tell us, Dana, some stats and some information that we, you know, we'd love to hear.
Sure, absolutely. So stroke has now been officially the leading cause of disability in the United States. So it really is something that we need to focus on as a community. It is also the third leading cause of death in New Jersey, but remains the fifth leading cause of death in the nation. So we really need to hone in on what is it about New Jersey, is besides our taxes and causing high blood pressure, that really focuses on us being more susceptible to having strokes. Is it our lifestyle? Is it what we eat? Is it how we're controlling? Or do we even know what some of our secondary risk factors are, including obesity, including diabetes, including smoking, irregular heartbeat? So part of the education to not only affect yourself, but also even if you pass on this information to one other person, you could be saving lives. Every 4 minutes, someone is having a stroke.
Every 4 minutes? Is that across the country?
Across the country. Mm-hmm. And if you, for those of baseball fans or any Yankees fans, to give a visualization, the amount of people who suffer from a stroke in a year nationwide can fill Yankee Stadium 15 times.
Oh, my God.
So just as a visualization of knowing how many people are affected every year, it's almost about 800,000 people. And we really, you know, it's tough because you go out to the community, you ask about, you know, what are the signs and symptoms of a heart attack? And they probably could be able to tell you someone clutching their chest, you know, you're having some numbness, tingling down the left arm, depending. Sometimes there's jaw pain. But when you ask about stroke, unfortunately, there's no black and white to stroke. You can have symptoms, and we try to use the acronym, but sometimes it's symptoms that you wouldn't imagine or symptoms that kind of are very vague.
Like what?
But all of a sudden they come together. Like when you're saying that, when we're saying the balance, like sometimes just kind of like, well, I don't feel myself today. I'm kind of dizzy, maybe just feeling a little bit off. I think I have some tingling and numbness in my left arm, but, you know, I think I just slept on it wrong. A lot of people try to attribute their symptom to something else. And the problem is our first line medication, you can only give up from 4.5 hours from the last time the person was seen normal. So if you're sitting there, for instance, and you're having visual difficulties or you're watching the TV, you only see half of the TV, you're like, maybe I'm just really tired. Like, you know, you're trying to attribute it to something else. I'm just going to take a nap. Well, by taking a nap, you're now cutting into the time that we could have used to treat the stroke. So the problem is if you go to bed and you feel perfectly normal, you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden you notice the facial droop and you notice some arm weakness, the last time you were seen normal was the night before. So we don't know if you had your stroke the night before. We don't know if you had it in the morning. So there's certain interventions that we can't do, but there are interventions that we can do. And just starting from 2018, we've now opened up the window that we can treat stroke patients up to 24 hours from last seen normal. So unless you haven't been normal for over a day, you have to come to the hospital because there is options for you. It's a matter of us.
So you're pretty much saying a lot of times people don't even know they had a stroke.
Correct. Or they're attributing it to other causes.
Yeah. So what happens with that? Like if someone had a stroke and they didn't know they had a stroke and they went to bed and they woke up the next day and they just felt a little off or whatever, or maybe they were drooping a little bit. I mean, is it drooping enough that they know at that point, I got to go to the doctor? I mean, does something happen that makes it obvious that there's something wrong, or do people just never even know they had a stroke?
Well, that's why we need to get the education out, because even with the drooping, there's something called Bell's palsy that affects your facial nerve. And sometimes people will say, oh, it's caused a lot of times by like a tick bite or something. So they'll be like, oh, it's probably just, you know, I'll go to my regular doctor and maybe tomorrow or something. Like, stroke is so time sensitive, but we're so used to, you know, you Google now that you have a hangnail and it tells you you're going to not be living in the next 3 weeks. So people try not to jump to the most critical conclusions, but sometimes we need to actually think about those most critical
options. Oh, yeah. No, I'm so glad you're talking about this. Hey. It's so interesting. Yeah. So go back to the 4 hours thing where you're like, now I know that your award-winning stroke program at the Hunterdon Medical Center healthcare system has gotten up to serving up to 24 hours.
Correct.
And so what you're saying is that you can kind of find remedy for some of the whatever happens during the stroke? Is that what you mean between the 24 hours, or what do you mean?
So what's happened now is that we've realized there's something, there's certain tests that you can perform to be able to see if there's any salvageable tissue, because your brain can't store oxygen. But some of us are born with collateral flow, which allows you to be providing blood and oxygen to the area of affected tissue for a certain period of time. We don't know what that period is going to be. Some people have collateral flow because they were born lucky, and they're going to be able to survive not having oxygen to that area for however long it may be. And there's other people that the tissue dies right away and there's no recovery.
Wow.
So we need to, we've now expanded the window because we've seen that there's people up to 24 hours that still have brain tissue that's salvageable. So we don't want someone to give up because they're like, oh, well, my symptoms happened last night, or they didn't happen last night, but by the time I woke up, they happened already. You can now, there's certain tests that we can perform to see if there's still any salvageable tissue. So it's never too late.
No, yeah. That's, what happens? Like, okay, so say you were lucky and you have the salvageable tissue.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? That what I mean, that there's work to be done to be, physical therapy or something like to make.
Well, no, salvageable tissue, sometimes it even requires an intervention of them mechanically going in and trying to retrieve that blood clot.
Oh, it's a blood clot. Now, that's important to know, too. We didn't know that. I didn't know stroke was a blood clot. I did not know that.
So there's two different types of stroke. There's a hemorrhagic stroke, which is a bleeding or a vessel that's burst in your brain.
Okay.
And that's about 13% of strokes. And the rest of the 87% are called ischemic or non-bleeding strokes. It's a blockage of a blood vessel in your brain. It could either be caused by a blood clot. It could be caused by plaque. There's multiple reasons why that could be caused. So you have those two different types of strokes. For the bleeding strokes, treatment options are different than the non-bleeding strokes. For the non-bleeding strokes, our biggest goal is that we want to get this medication that you can give up to 4.5 hours. It's called TPA, Alteplase or Activase. And that is literally a massive blood clot buster.
Wow.
We call it a clot buster.
That's amazing.
So we try to get that into your system. And, of course, with any medication, there's always risks as well. But you have to contemplate, do the risks outweigh the benefits? Now, sometimes even when we give that clot buster, because the clot is so big, it starts breaking away at it, but it doesn't break it up enough to still give enough blood flow to that area. So sometimes, depending on what our CAT scan shows, and then we also have CTA, which is a further CAT scan imaging to be able to see the vessels, if we still see that big clot there, that's when we would ship our patients to a comprehensive center. And we have many of those. We have a partnership with Overlook Medical Center, which is comprehensive, but we've also shared with St. Luke's Bethlehem, who has just become a comprehensive capital, Robert Wood Johnson. So we will go to other comprehensive centers because, unfortunately, at Hunterdon, we don't have the capability to retrieve clots at this time, but the frontline drug is still always to give that clot buster. So we can treat the patient while they're in the air.
Wow.
To the next facility.
So what's the difference between, like, a heart attack, again, and a stroke?
I mean, literally, I mean, they laugh, but they say a stroke is a brain attack. A heart attack is a heart attack.
Oh.
So you're still affecting. I always laugh.
And I like my question.
And be biased for our neuro people out there and say the brain's the only organ that can't be transplanted. So we always laugh and say you only get one chance with the brain.
Whoa.
You only get one shot. So that's why you really want to, you know, salvage anything that you can.
To be clear, you can't transplant a brain. I mean, it makes total sense, right?
That would even though some of us wish we were in other people's brains,
so
unfortunately.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Okay. So you only have one chance.
So the same thing, you have a blocked vessel in your
heart.
Well,
no, I'm learning so much. I mean, first of all, my mother had a stroke about 4 years ago now. But she had, but my sister Julie, who works at the Hunterdon Healthcare System, Julie Koch, she had what was called a self-induced stroke because she was taking like some type of like Alka-Seltzer way too much, and it actually induced a stroke. So it wasn't like a hereditary thing. My dad died of heart disease. So this topic is so interesting to me because it's basically, you know, we were talking about the stroke program being award-winning. And so, but I did not know. I could tell you, like, you're talking about public awareness, right? And I know my people out there are just like me. We're not nurses for 10 years. Haven't been in the stroke program for 7 years. And we're at the age, a lot of us, that have people either having a stroke or, you know, we're worried about our own self. So I've learned so many things about just your acronym, about your BE, which is balance in the eyesight, the face, arms, speech, time. The fact that it's your brain and not your heart, which is the difference between a stroke and a heart attack. Never heard that
so
ever.
So don't give an aspirin before you call 911. Because if you don't know what type of stroke your family member is having,
wow.
If you give an aspirin, that's a blood thinner, and your family member or your whoever significant other is having a bleeding stroke, you're just going to make it
worse.
Whoa. So
yeah, that's another misconception. Yeah, people tell everybody
when you think about
a
heart attack, you think about, okay, give an aspirin, give a nitro. Do not give anything, because even more so, if someone's blood pressure is high and we think they're having a stroke, until we know what type of stroke they're having, we don't want to control their blood pressure, because that's your body's own way of trying to get the blood and oxygen to that area that's being occluded. So we're decreasing the blood pressure.
Fascinating. You know, it's funny because a lot of people don't even know what blood pressure is. All I know is that I had an artery that needed to be cauterized because in my nose it popped. Then you know what blood pressure is, because it was like just projectile. That blood pressure is real. Like, I mean, you're talking about it. So when you're talking about that's your body's way of remedying, pushing through, like almost like Adreno.
Your body's regulation.
Weird. Well, see, we're not doctors and nurses over here. At least most of us are not. So I think it's really interesting. I really want to focus now for about 15 minutes, actually, on the award-winning 100 in Stroke program, because you're like the ambassador here, stroke coordinator. And also just tell us about what it is that has earned the award, and also as many more facts and so on as you have, because I've learned so much today.
Sure, absolutely. So we follow the Get With The Guidelines, which is part of the American Heart, American Stroke. So what they do is they, you know, audit and make sure that the care that you're providing and to your patients is of the best quality of care. So each year they put out award levels. You have a bronze, a silver, and a gold award. So it's a two-part award. So the first part is the bronze, silver, or gold. This year, 100 in Medical Center, for the first time, we won the silver. And the only reason we didn't win the gold is because you can't jump to gold without winning silver first.
Oh, really?
So
congratulations.
We won the highest level that we could there. And for the silver award there, we follow 7 core measures. So that includes like providing rehab to our stroke patients, making sure they get the correct antithrombotics or blood thinner medications, making sure that they're discharged on a statin, which is a cholesterol-reducing medication, because that's always a risk. That's also a risk factor for stroke, having high cholesterol.
High cholesterol. Is that both for stroke and heart attack?
Correct.
Okay.
So making sure one of them is making sure that you get the medication in on time. So once they hit our doors, are we giving them the medication in an appropriate period of time at the hospital? So measures like that, giving stroke education, we have 7 of those measures. So they want to make sure that you're hitting those measures 85% or higher on every single measure for the entire year.
Wow.
So for the entire year of 2018, we at least hit 85% or higher on all of those measures. And then the second part of the award was actually the highest level that you can get, and it ranks with some of our comprehensive centers as well, so we're really proud of it, is honor roll, target stroke honor roll elite plus, meaning that not only are we recognizing stroke patients in the field, our MICU, which has been fabulous in helping us, which is the medical ALS community that shows up on scene as well. So you have your basic life support, and then you also have your advanced life support that comes in and is able to do the IVs, the blood sugars, transporting to the hospital, getting medications, controlling blood pressure if we deem that it needs to be controlled. They're bringing us in, but once you're hitting the door, we've been able to provide at least 85% or higher that we're getting this medication into our patients, not only at the 60-minute mark, but the 45 and 30-minute mark.
Wow.
So we're really moving like this.
Yeah.
And that's why we ask our community, please call 911, because we have all the information from the field. So by the time you hit our doors, the only thing we're waiting to see is a CAT scan. Because even if someone is having, and this is another myth, just because your CAT scan is negative, that the doctor says, oh, you have a negative CAT scan, that doesn't mean you're not having a stroke right in front of us. When we do a CAT scan as the initial assessment, we're literally only looking, do you have bleeding in your brain or no bleeding in your brain? Because if there's bleeding, clearly we're not going to give you a clot buster if you're having the wrong type of stroke to give
busted.
The clot buster for.
Uh-huh.
So we need to make sure that we can assess appropriately. So because we don't per se see the stroke on CAT scan, because if you're having it in front of us and you have good collateral flow, what we see on CAT scan is already dead tissue. So we don't want to see the dead tissue because we want to know that there's something that we can save. So just because they come and say, okay, your CAT scan's negative, and then we say, okay, we're going to give you the clot-busting drug. Well, why are you giving me the clot-busting drug if it's negative? Mm-hmm. But in reality, we know you're having a stroke. We're just trying to save that tissue.
How long does a stroke last?
Like,
just curious, is there any, like...
Well, there's something called a TIA or a mini stroke, which typically lasts 1 to 2 hours, and then your symptoms spontaneously resolve. That's more of subjective findings. We still ask that you call 911, that you get treated, because if those symptoms come back, which it has happened in our emergency department, we can give you the medication right away because we're already on target to say, oh, we think that you just had a stroke or a mini stroke, we really want to pay attention. You have all these risk factors. We need to focus on your care. A stroke, I mean, you can have a stroke and
when's
it's
that,
there. When, I mean, once you have dead tissue, you have dead tissue. It
so what about like, okay, so other than like this balance, eyesight, face thing, say you don't have any of these symptoms yet. Is there, if you go to your annual doctor and you get a physical, what are they looking for to give you an idea that you may be a stroke victim? Is there any way, like, what's
well, the prevent- there's some people
I mean,
that,
I get the cholesterol thing.
Yeah, there's some people that might have small strokes that they don't ever even know about. So unless you do a CAT scan, unless your primary physician has a reason to do a CAT scan on you and might find, like, a tiny lacunar infarct, which is a very tiny stroke at a time, you might not even know. But the biggest focus that I have is that looking at your secondary risk factors, like, is your cholesterol controlled? Is your diabetes controlled? Do you have high blood pressure? You know, are you overweight? Do we need to focus on an exercise or a nutrition plan for you? Like, that's what a lot of our primary care physicians are focusing on, because that has a lot to do with multiple differential diagnoses, not just stroke. I mean, you have heart attack, you have everything and anything in between. So that's really the main focus. And even if, unfortunately, your stroke symptoms started 3 days earlier and you just kept pushing off coming to the hospital, you know, you still need to come in, because we still need to identify, did it happen? What caused it to happen? Source of stroke is the biggest question, because if you don't know what caused your stroke, how do you know how to prevent another one from happening?
Right. With, so that's like the really medication or the breakup thing or whatever.
Correct.
You have.
It's really, really important to know that.
So what about also with the awards that you've won? So you got to the silver now, and I get that you have all these different components of the program, of the award that you got. So keep telling us a little bit more about how that award affects the Hunterdon Healthcare System.
Well, it really shows that our dedication to the community members, because we're not just giving quality care, we're being recognized as, say, even someone from the outside that's looking in, from the information that we submit, from all the bodies that are looking at us, we really want to provide the best care to our community members. And we're moving, the reason we're expanding to the 24-hour window and the reason that we're doing all these interventions is because of the fact that we...
Sorry. What?
You're good. I think you're doing
okay. Well, uh-oh.
You're up. That, I wasn't checking.
Okay. All right.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No problem. Michelle Hurley, she's like we talk about Hunterdon County assets. Michelle Hurley at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a true asset to the Hunterdon County Chamber. Everybody else, we love her. Anyway, okay. So go ahead. So you were talking more about some of the, I know that how important it is to you all to be able to say that you're serving the community with all the, you know, the passion and engagement that you all have in the program.
Absolutely.
And so to be recognized has got to be very special for all of you guys.
Oh, absolutely. And we want to make sure, you know, we've seen our numbers just almost double from when I started working at Hunterdon till now. I mean, we have about 400 patients just from our hospital that are leaving, that have been diagnosed with either a stroke or a mini stroke. So
wow.
The numbers are, and that's just from our small little community, Hunterdon Healthcare Hospital. So you can only imagine what's happening in other counties as well. And that's why the recognition, you know, it needs to be spot on, and it needs to be continuing with any and all updates because stroke is ever evolving.
We're coming
up with more interventions every day.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And I think I can recognize it because of the like advancements and almost like what you talk about. Like I can feel it because my best friend and Lisa Becker's best friend, Colleen Kelly, who was diagnosed with stage 4 non-lymphoma cancer about, you know, I think it was 8 years ago or so. Oh, wow. They were giving her like less than 60 days to live, but she literally has been keeping up with the treatments. And that, you know, the advancements in treatments are incredible. So with stroke, it's the same thing. How many people, like, do you have a percentage of how many people die when they have a stroke?
Well, it's very difficult because stroke is the leading cause of disability. So the question then becomes, while our patients, I mean, it's the fifth leading cause of death in the nation. However, is quantity or quality better? So if you have patients that's the number one cause of disability, this means between 25 and 50% of our patients will not be able to go back to what they were doing before they came into the hospital. And or about 25% of that require either 24-hour home health care aid. They might require further, like moving to a long-term care facility now.
Forever?
As opposed to being able to stay home or being independent or having, say, for instance, your daughter that lives a block away that might be able to assist in care. So that's what's really upsetting or disabling, literally, about stroke is that, I mean, imagine if you couldn't talk anymore, you wouldn't be able to do this job that you have here. Or imagine even for me, if I couldn't use my dominant hand anymore, trying to put IVs in or taking care of patients, it would be a lot more difficult. I'm not saying it can't happen, and kudos to everyone who is able to, but it's life altering.
What about the ages? What's the age group?
So we're seeing younger and younger people being affected. The biggest group seems to be now between 45 and 64, which is really lowering. And people always ask me, is it men or women? It's really almost even, but it depends on what age frame you're looking at. So women are living longer, so they have a higher likelihood that something's going to ultimately affect them.
Yeah.
So typically over the age of 75, the statistics say that women suffer more than men only because
they're only
more
alive.
Women too. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's typically almost about the same, like a 54-46 split right now of women versus men.
Wow. So we're going to go to our last break here. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey. Location, Hunterdon County. Work with Weicker Realtors. If you're looking for a real estate agent, please call me. And my guest, Dana DeAngelis, is the stroke coordinator for the Hunterdon Healthcare Program, which is award-winning, the stroke program. It's really exciting to talk about. Learn a lot. I'm learning so much. So stay with us for a second. We'll be right back. Again, listening into Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is I Love New Jersey, location, location, location. Today's a serious matter. We're talking about the stroke program, an award-winning program offered by the Hunterdon Healthcare System, recognized by the stroke. What was it exactly that you, where did the award come from?
American Heart, American Stroke, Get with the Guidelines.
Wow. And Dana DeAngelis is the stroke coordinator over at the Hunterdon Healthcare Center. She was telling us about the award and about strokes in general. And I was asking her during the break to tell us about like a typical day in her world of like how it relates to what you do and a stroke victim.
Absolutely. So when you come in, whether you're treated with this clot-busting drug or not, we are, you know, monitoring you in the hospital. And one of our main goals is to really go through radiology testing and get rehab on board. So we want to, whatever tissue was affected, we want to try to get physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, depending on what, you know, we want to customize our care to our stroke patients so that way we're able to focus on the deficits and get you back to your baseline as soon as possible. So sometimes, especially in the hospital setting, once we can identify the source of your stroke, it may look like we're trying to get you out of the hospital, but we want you to get to rehab as soon as possible, because the more rehab you're getting in the acute phase of those 2 weeks after your event has happened or after your attack has happened, that's when we're starting to get the ball rolling of working those muscles, working those tissues, trying to get back and regain any access that you have to function. So we really want to, our main goals are identifying the source of the stroke, going through your radiology testing. So just check, you know, do we need an MRI if it's necessary? Or we might already know, yes, we know the location of the stroke. Now we want to assess, did you have some irregular heartbeat you didn't know about in the past? You know, do you have any high cholesterol? We do some blood work to check. We want to check, are you a diabetic? And you might not know that as well. So we really want to identify the source and then rehab. Those are our two biggest goals in the acute care setting of the hospital, because realistically, you want to be in and out of there, you know, 3 days, 4 days max, because we really want to get you to a rehab facility that can get you up and running again and or back to your functional baseline that you can go home and possibly do some outpatient therapy or
yeah, it's
not
interesting.
Even need
I
therapy.
Mean, my mother, yeah, because she, when she had the stroke, she had like the whole left side or whatever, that right side, what nothing didn't move. And we, I mean, we thought, forget it. Like, so, but 4 years later, you would never know she had a stroke.
Correct.
I mean, that's incredible. Like, you talk about the advancements and your goals as far as working towards the future.
And you never really stop recovering. I mean, we just had a lecture with one of our acute rehab facilities as well. And, you know, it could be 10 years from now, and they're still making improvements. It's how much you can just keep. You need to have a lot of perseverance, and stroke is definitely devastating to not only the patient but also to their family members as well, or their caretakers or their significant others or whoever might be there with them. So the biggest thing is having that support system as well. I know it sounds that emotional support.
Oh, yeah. I just it's funny. Did you ever hear – did you know that Sharon Stone, the actress – had a stroke when she was like 50-something, and it killed
yes.
her career.
Yes.
And she wrote this article. I just read it the other day on social media or whatever. She was talking about how mean people were to her because for that, like you talk about, if I didn't have this radio show, a lot of people would be really happy about it. But yeah, like it's my livelihood to be in real estate or whatever. But like for her, she was an actress, and it was
absolutely.
Like the day that happened, it was like, you know, see you later. And now she's like 13 years later able to talk about it, but it was just very emotionally challenging, not only like you talk about persistence for your own physical needs and so on.
Right. And unfortunately, you see a lot of depression in the acute phase as well, because, I mean, it's life altering. You have something
right.
you're trying to figure out, if you're the primary caretaker for someone else, if you're a caretaker for your, you know, friends and family.
How many people about a day does the Hunterdon healthcare system get calls or get bring in for? Do you have any stats at all?
Well, when we call code strokes in the hospital, which is someone who's within this 24-hour period coming through, and we average about a little over one a day.
Wow.
But that doesn't mean that there's, like That's I said, a lot. Other people that come through also right. that might have been having symptoms
you didn't
for three
even know.
Or 4 days that progressive
or
symptoms.
They don't call because they didn't know.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
That's
so
really
one a
scary.
Day, I mean,
that's
that is,
scary.
When you think about it, and this is Hunter Day.
Yeah.
I mean.
Exactly. Yeah.
Our place to go.
Right. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about Hunterdon Healthcare. How's it going over there? We know we have new management and everybody's, you know, very excited about
oh,
it.
Oh, yes. It's everything's going great over there. We're really, I mean, we wouldn't be able to do these advances if we didn't have a collaborative team working together. So we really, it's interesting you say Julie, because that happens to be who I work for.
Oh, really?
So it's very.
She works for my sister, Julie Koch. She's like so the director over there of emergency services or something.
Yes. So she's over the emergency department, which is very important. I actually am located in the emergency department. So that way when patients are coming directly through the door, I have quick access to them right away.
Well, then, you know what? And I mean, congratulations again on your award and everything. But I do want to make, I was going to mention, it's kind of interesting. One time I was talking to Julie about it, and she was telling me that the emergency services department is like the inside of the clock. Like everything that goes into the hospital pretty much usually has some effect or is affected by the emergency room. It's like, the you know, you go in, like you said, and then all of a sudden you're taking care of the person with the stroke, making sure that they're like vitals and everything are checked out, whatever symptom, get the radiologist, I think you said.
Yep.
You get set up the CAT scan and make sure you get the buster if you're needed or whatever. I can just picture it, right? Taking total care of the patient. And so you're like dedicated to the stroke program. That's what you're part of the inside of the watch.
That's my
And then
part
as you get them stabilized or whatever, then you start to make where they're going to go next. If it's in the hospital, one of the beds or out or whatever, right?
Right, depending on what their level of care is needed. And mm-hmm. I mean, our ultimate goal is we want our community member to have the best possible care they can. So mm-hmm. that is our main focus. And that's why, you know, I'm directly right across from the MICU or the emergency medical services. So that way I can hear if they're going out on a call. I know to be expecting that. We use a new system now. It's called Triage. It's supposed to be tweeting. Triage together,
yeah.
And that's what gives us the capability of our pre-hospital members to be able to contact us, let us know this is what the person looks like, these are what their deficits are, this is what their name is, and start that pre-registration as well. So really, like you said, the collateral flow, it's the face, and we're one of the stems coming off of it.
Yeah, and then everybody in the hospital works together so well, and there's so many employees over there. I mean, I know from the Hunterdon Chamber that the community support and kind of like activism by the hospital to make sure that everybody's aware of what's going on, and just supporting all of the nonprofits and everything else. It's amazing what you guys do.
And we are going into different, like we'll go into the 4-H fairs as well. We just have gone over to ShopRite in Flemington. We were there this past weekend to give stroke education as well. So
are you doing that?
You're welcome. I'll do that. Or also there's some, we have stroke champions in the hospital as
yeah.
well. So that way on each of the different units, in case I'm not there, when my boss gives me vacation, when I'm not there, that we're able to have 24/7 coverage all the time.
That's great. I know Kim Blanda, she does the health and nutrition programs over there. She's
yep.
been on here a couple times. I've known her for years, and she does a fabulous job in the community.
And that's the most important is, like I said, if you can just let one person know about the signs and symptoms or even go over the acronym with them, I mean, just the FAST part alone and without including the B or the E, one positive, so either face, arms, or speech, is about an 85% chance you're having a stroke.
Wow.
Two positive is about a 90% chance. So realistically, I mean, the two most common mimics that you would possibly see in the hospital is low blood sugar or hypoglycemia. That could be a mimic of stroke, meaning that it might cause some of these symptoms. So when you're asking what is that 10% that isn't a stroke, that's one of them. And the other one is the ever up and growing sepsis. So you're
oh, my God, really?
So between those two, that's why it's very hard to differentiate stroke, because there's a lot of other critical differentials that it could possibly be. And sometimes stroke, you have to, it's called a diagnosis that we work backwards into. So.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about that hypoglycemia. Is that like a low blood sugar?
Low blood sugar, correct.
Yeah. So then that would kind of explain why you would have like kind of like the you know, the droopings or speech
or
the weakness.
Absolutely.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, one other thing is like, okay, so you mentioned back of brain stroke with the BE, the balance and eyesight. Is there a front of brain stroke?
The fast, I apologize if I didn't say that earlier, the fast part is the front of the brain kind of looking at the front, the bigger, I should say the bigger vessels of the brain going into the front part of the brain.
Which is worse?
Stands for. The B and the E can be more critical. Most of the time, the back of the brain strokes, if you have that type of stroke, they are more severe. So are the bleeding strokes. They're more severe. But it doesn't mean any stroke can't be, and it depends on what you consider. Is it quantity or quality? So I can tell you the anterior part or the front part of the brain isn't as severe, but you're gonna be disabled the rest of your life. Well, it's not severe that you passed away, but it's still severe that your whole life has been turned upside down. And, I mean, we're seeing people coming in younger and younger. I mean, you know, it's gotten to the point that we're seeing even more pediatric patients coming in. You think,
right, why is that? Yeah.
Sometimes there's an unknown cause, or those are the patients. There's something called a cryptogenic stroke, which means that's about 30 to 35% of the population, which means you've had a stroke. We've confirmed you have a stroke. We've worked you up and down and all around, and we cannot figure out what's causing your stroke or what caused your stroke, which is even more scary on top of the depression and the acute phase. Now you've
paranoia
and you don't know how to address them or what
I'd be completely freaking out all the time.
Correct.
What about, generational thing too? Like, is it genetics?
Family history is a risk factor, but it doesn't persist. I mean, the majority of our patients don't have a familial history.
Really?
That's so interesting. It is a risk factor, but it's smaller. It's a smaller percentage.
Mm-hmm. So what out there would you like everybody to know more than anything in the last 2 minutes of our show?
Just act fast, be fast. Remember the signs and symptoms of stroke. Call 911, please. I know you might think that you're closer to the hospital, but in reality, let Hunterdon Medical Center serve our community like we know how, like we've been awarded how to do so. And like we have the education, we have the proper training, we have fantastic staff. I mean, let us do our job so that way we can provide you with the best possible outcomes.
Well, thank you so
and
much,
starts
Dana.
With the recognition.
Congratulations. Yeah, well, the recognition goes back to you guys for the Stroke Program Award. Congratulations to everybody at Hunterdon Healthcare. Thank you so much for the stroke program in itself and for being an advocate about sharing the information with us. We've learned so much today. I can't even tell you. So, again, thank you. This is I Love New Jersey Radio. Location, location, location. I'm Jeannie Murphy with Weikert Flemington. If you're looking to buy, sell, or rent, please get in touch with me. And I hope you have a really great day. Dana, congratulations again, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
So we really appreciate your work, too. All right. Go ahead and have a great day there. We'll see you next week.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The saga of the troubled Boeing 737 MAX airliners again lands on Capitol Hill. A Senate hearing today taking another look at the FAA's role in regulating that troubled aircraft.
It is critical that Boeing and the FAA get this right in order to restore public confidence in both the aircraft and the certification and oversight process.
Democratic Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island there at the hearing. The Boeing 737 MAX grounded after two deadly crashes overseas. Former Delta Airlines exec Steve Dixon recently confirmed as the new chief of the FAA. June job creation, according to the ADP private payroll survey, finds about 156,000 jobs added last month, beating analysts' expectations of about 148,000. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
You guys have a great product, and I tell my friends about it, and I was actually talking to a guy the other day who I just met, and he takes them. So you put out a great product, and I want to thank you and your organization.
I just started using it, and my family's already seen the difference. And I have health issues. I have fibromyalgia, asthma, but all of a sudden everything's clearing up, and I'm feeling better, and my skin's better. My brother said I look 10 years younger already.
Wow. Okay.
My vision is clear. I already see the difference. People are seeing the difference, and my doctor's seeing the difference.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Controversial comedian Kathy Griffin says the FBI saved her life when she ended up on a kill list from the bomber Cesar Sayoc, who was accused of mailing explosive devices to Democrats and other critics of President Trump in 2018. She says the FBI stepped in to protect her when they found out that she was on the list, and she says, "I am not anti-government at all after the experience." Democratic candidates divided about health care and how to fix it. That was evident in the Democratic presidential debate last night, as 10 Dems, including progressives Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, were warned by their more moderate colleagues that voters don't want sweeping, possibly undeliverable promises. At the suggestion that such things from Democrats could hand President Trump re-election, Bernie Sanders told the crowd in Detroit,
"The reason we are going to defeat Trump and beat him badly is that he is a fraud and a phony, and we're going to expose him."
10 more Democrats, including former VP and frontrunner Joe Biden, will be on that stage in Detroit tonight. And this is USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
Air Force General John Hyten, the current commander of the Strategic Command, has denied allegations of sexual misconduct from a former female aide as he undergoes a confirmation process. John Clemens has more.
That denial was made during testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee that is considering General Hyten to become the next vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
It has been a painful time for me and my family, but I want to state to you and to the American people in the strongest possible terms that these allegations are false.
The Air Force Office of Special Investigations reviewed over 10,000 pages of documents, conducted 50 interviews, and pursued the matter, but did not find any evidence to support the allegations.
The Trump administration's reporting that for the first time it's open to the idea of importing some lower-cost prescription drugs from Canada. During a call with reporters this morning, the Health and Human Services Chief Alex Azar said, quote, "What we're saying today is we're open," adding, "There is a pathway, we can be convinced." It's the latest in the administration's ongoing efforts to lower prescription drug costs. With voters ranking high prescription costs as a top concern, the president's made the issue a priority of his 2020 campaign. Get to know us online as well as on the radio, our newly redesigned websites at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.